Celia, does this whole legal challenge boil down to a question of how much money schools get?
Well, Gannon v. Kansas has two parts. Yes, they are battling over the amount of money that schools get, but it's also about whether some schools are at an unfair disadvantage. The easiest way to think of it is this. Resources vary based on where you live because schools get part of their money from property tax. Take Kaw Valley and Royal Valley.
Okay, those are two neighboring rural districts, right? North of Topeka, farmland, small towns.
Exactly. But Kaw Valley has one of the strongest tax bases in the state relative to its size because there's a power plant there. Royal Valley has one of the weakest tax bases. So in Kaw Valley, a single mill of property tax is worth $300,000, and that's 10 times as much as it is in neighboring Royal Valley. Kansas does try to even out the playing field with state aid, but the Gannon case is partly about just how much the state needs to do that.
So you said that this case, Gannon versus Kansas, has two parts. How much money that schools get, that's one part. What's the other part?
It's how much schools need, based on, in particular, how students are doing. So there have been several rulings in this case, but if we look at the most recent one from March about adequacy, the Kansas Supreme Court made clear that the state needs to do more to make sure kids are finishing school with the basic skills they'll need in life. The justices really emphasized that a quarter of Kansas students are struggling with basic math and reading. That includes half of the state's African-American students, a third of its Hispanic students, a third of its students from low-income families.
So in March, that was the ruling that the court issued that essentially struck down the existing funding system that the state of Kansas had in place.
Yeah, exactly. And the legislature responded to that by adding about $300 million for schools. They did that in June. And now the state's lawyers are going to argue in court that that should be enough money, and the schools say it isn't. It's worth noting that the state targeted part of that $300 million specifically at helping struggling students. So that will be part of their argument in court, that Kansas is meeting its obligations.
So now here we are again, back to court. What is the court, the Supreme Court, looking to hear, do you think, in the oral arguments that will be presented next week?
Well, the burden is going to be on the state at this point to prove that it's come up with a solution to help those struggling kids. At the same time, the districts are going to try to reopen that question about whether poor districts are funded fairly. That had been resolved in one of the previous rulings after the state pumped in more money. But the districts say this new school finance law from June actually reintroduced some problems.
How much money are we talking about if the state loses their argument?
That's not exactly clear. What we do know is that the plaintiffs are arguing $300 million is at most just a third of what is needed. Part of their argument is that the state has fallen several hundred million dollars behind inflation since it reneged on a previous school funding plan that had been approved by the courts. That was from the mid-2000s, and the state had promised to increase funding by about $750 million. But the recession got in the way, and budget cuts did as well.
Right. That's what happened after the last time that we had a long and protracted court fight in Kansas over school funding. Thanks so much, Celia.
Thank you.